about to start a brand new topic. Whether that statement is true is going to be machlekes rishonim. By the end of the year, we'll know. According to some rishonim, it's not a new topic at all. It's just a continuation of the old topic. According to other rishonim, it's a radically different topic. So the topic, the sugya that I want to begin to discuss today, is the sugya of zochel liadam shelo b'fanav. The fact that if something is beneficial for someone, I can do it on their behalf without them even knowing about it. Let's say, for example, I want to give a gift to somebody. I want to give a gift to Reuven, and Reuven's not here. So no problem. Since receiving a gift is usually beneficial, I could give it to Shimon. So Shimon, pick it up. You do the kinyan on behalf of Reuven, and hocus pocus, now the object belongs to Reuven. So zochel liadam shelo b'fanav. The fact that such a concept exists, zochel liadam shelo b'fanav is beferish. The Mishnayos that speak about zochel liadam shelo b'fanav. The Gemara in the second paragraph of Kedushin quotes Psukim, the concept of Zochel Lashon B'Fanav, maybe. It's a Shalom, the Rishonim, but the Maskanas the Gemara is. But the Mice, that such a thing exists on a level of the Araisa, that seems very, very clear. A principle called Zochel Lashon B'Fanav. What is unclear is what is the relationship, if any, between the principle of Zochel Lashon B'Fanav and some of the principles of Shlichos that we've been speaking about in the past. So the last couple of Shiurim we dedicated to this other Deraistic concept that I can, in effect, do something on your behalf. If you appoint me as a shaliach to go buy something, you appoint me as a shaliach to be mafish tshuva, you appoint me as a shaliach to be kaddish and isha. So there is a concept of Reuven acting on behalf of Shimon. But it's a far cry to the principle of Zochel b'fanav. There seems to be a very basic difference between the two. In the case of shlichus, so I actually appoint you. I literally appoint you to act as my shaliach. In the case of Zochel b'fanav, you are stepping up to the plate on your own. Nobody asked you to pick up this present for me. Nobody asked you to be mafish tshuva for me. Nobody asked you to do this action for me. And still, the Torah says it's acceptable. So is there a connection? Is there a relationship between these two principles or not? So on the one hand, they seem certain degree similar, because you have somebody affecting a chalos for somebody else. On the other hand, in one place, in the case of shlichus, there was an official mino shlichus, there was an actual appointment, where in the case of zochel liadam b'fanav, everything happens on its own. So much of the discussion that we showed about this topic revolves around the Gemara in the fourth parak of Maseches Nedarim. The Gemara raises the question in the realm of afroshas trumos. Let's say I see that you're a farmer, you have a lot of grain, a lot of fruit, you're supposed to separate tubers and mices from, and you're not around, you're out of town. And I want to be a nice guy, I want to step up to the plate, and I want to be mafresh truma on your behalf. So I don't go to your grain and take your grain to be mafresh truma, I'm a really, really nice guy. I go in and I take my grain. I'm your next door neighbor, next door farm. I have a lot of grain that's tevel, that we haven't separated truma from, and you have a lot of grain that's tevel. So the halacha is, you can technically separate from one field onto the other, as long as everything hasn't been maised yet, so it's all one big tevel, even though it belongs to different people, you can theoretically be mafrish from one person onto the next. So the Gemara raises the question, are you permitted to do this or not? Am I permitted as a nice guy to go ahead and be mafrish mishali al shal chaveri? I'm going to separate my own from my own tevel, and I'm going to separate, having in mind that this tafrasha should be pelter not only my stuff, it should be pelter your stuff as well. So the Gemara raises the question, is this an acceptable method of afrasha shumas or not? So the Gemara says the Shaila revolves around a certain degree of a Metzias question. Is this considered to be beneficial? When I'm separating from my fruit onto your fruit, is that something which you would prefer? Is that something that you're beneficial to or not? And you're in China, I have no way of contacting you, I have no way of asking you. But I'm going to take a guess. I think that it's beneficial to you. Is it or is it not? So the Gemara says two different possibilities. So on the one hand, we say, of course it's beneficial. I'm saving you a lot of money. You have tevel. I'm doing you a teva. I'm separating my fruit of your fruit. So you're going to walk away with more produce. On the other hand, maybe it's not so beneficial to you, because maybe mitzvah delay or deflay. A person wants to perform his own mitzvahs. A person doesn't want somebody else to, quote-unquote, steal his mitzvahs. He wants to perform his mitzvahs with his own fruit. So that's the Gemara's two tzedakah. Those are the two sides of the Gemara. Is it good? Is it not good? Is it beneficial? Is it not beneficial? So the Gemara doesn't conclude explicitly what the answer is. The Gemara in other places seems to indicate that we pass that it would be good. That in fact, it is considered to be a zchus. So come to Rishon and ask, what is the premise of the Gemara? The Gemara's entire sugya is revolving around the fact that if it would be zchus, if it would be beneficial, if it would be no side, but would be detrimental to you, then there's no question this hafrasha would be good. This is not a halakhic suffix. It's not a two tzadim in a halakhic sense. It's two tzadim in a psychological sense. Is it good for you? Is it not good for you? So there are pros and cons in life. Some sides are good, some sides are not so good. But lu yitzuya, if we would really be able to state with certainty that this is beneficial, this is a good thing, that you would be really happy about it, then there's no question in the Gemara that hafrasha would be chal. So come to Rishon and ask, how could the hafrasha be chal? The Gemara tells us in Maseches Kiddushin, based on Psukim, Atem, Gam Atem, L'Rabba Shluchachem. The only way to be Mafresh Truma for somebody else is only through the principle of Shlichus. The Gemara says that if a person is Mafresh, Torah Mish'ena Shalom, if I go into your backyard and I start taking away your fruit, I'm Mafresh your fruit without asking you, the Gemara says it's no good. That Kein Tarimu Gam Atem. Atem means you could be Mafresh Truma. Eina Torah Mish'ena Shalom. I can't be Mafresh Truma that doesn't belong to me. The only exception to that rule is the gzeres hakasav of the list, so you're kol shlichus. So how about the Gemara here, just all of a sudden be assuming, well, if it's good for you, then it's okay. What happened to the gzeres, what happened to the din, that you can't be torim, al she'en ha'shalot. So the come to Rishonim and split how to answer this problem. So come some of the Rishonim, Taisus, and others who say, the answer to this question is very simple. From here you see that zechiyah is mitam shlichus, that shlichus and zechiyah are synonymous with one another. Just as I could formally appoint you as a shaliach to do something on my behalf, and that's okay, gam atem l'rav shluchachem, so too I can have a shlichus without a formal appointing, as long as it's positive, as long as it's a nichle, as long as it's something which is generally advantageous, generally beneficial. So then the halachas of zechiyah kick in, and whenever zechiyah works, whenever we can apply the principle of zach v'erem shal b'fanav, zach v'erem shal b'fanav is the halach equivalent of shlichus. So come these Rishonim and say that you don't need a formal shlichus. You don't need a formal appointing of a shlichus in order for shlichus to kick in. You can accomplish shlichus in one of two ways. Either through a formal appointing, or if it's so obvious that it's something that you would prefer, that in of itself works for Torah shlichus. So zechi and shlichus are really one and the same, according to these Rishonim. And the proof positive is this Gemara. So comes the Rashba in the Sugi Maseches Nedarim and says, absolutely not. Comes the Rashba and says, this principle of zechiyah, of zach v'erem shel b'fanav, is radically different than the principle of shlichus. So if so, says the Rashba, how does it work? How can I possibly go ahead and take somebody else's mafresh and somebody else's stuff? So says the Rashba, because you didn't look carefully at the case. I mean, we did. We described the case properly, but when we asked the question, so we left out the most important factor in the case. Comes the Rashba and says, the Gemara is not discussing that I am going over to your field and taking your fruit away without asking your permission. That would be absurd, says the Rashba. That's impossible. There's no way for me to take something away from you without getting your explicit permission. The Gemara is talking about, I'm taking something away from myself. I'm taking my own property. I'm doing you a super duper favor. I'm not just saving you the tircha of being mafresh, but I'm doing that frasha on my own produce as well. So comes the Rashba and says, when I go ahead and I'm mafresh on my produce to exempt your produce, so that's okay. Then you don't require shlichus. That's when zach v'erem shel b'fanav kicks in. So you had to really break down, according to the Rashba, what's the difference between zach v'erem shel b'fanav and shlichus? When do you say one and when do you say the other? So says the Rashba, the answer is very simple. He says, listen to the words of Zochen le'adam shalom b'fanav. Zochen le'adam shalom b'fanav means I can invoke the principle of zechiyah to give you something, to add something to you. I can use zechiyah to get you a present. But what I cannot do is Zochen me'adam shalom b'fanav. I cannot apply the principle of zechiyah to take something away from you. It can be the most beneficial thing in the world. I'm the greatest tzaddik. I'm doing the greatest toiva, but it doesn't matter. The Torah doesn't give you the authority to take away something from anybody unless you were actually appointed to do so. So shlichus, says the Rashba, is reserved for a situation when you're taking away from somebody. I want to remove something from you. I want to go ahead and take your field away. I want to take your products away. I want to take something away from you. There's no way for me to do it. It can be advantageous from today till tomorrow, but I cannot do it unless I get your absolute permission. If I want to add something to you, I want to give something to you, so then it depends. If it's positive, then matav zach v'erem shel b'fanav. If it's negative, then I cannot do that. That's the principle, or the difference between the principle of shlichus and the principle of zechiyah, according to this understanding of the Rashba. Now, I touched up the Rashba a little bit when I explained it to you. I can't take personal responsibility for that. I presented the Rashba the way the Ketzos presents the Rashba. It's the standard, at least the Ketzos' standard understanding of what the Rashba is driving at. So it comes out, we now have a major machlekes in Rishonim between the first group of Rishonim who are arguing that Zechiah and Shlichas are synonymous. Whenever Shlichas works, Zechiah works, and Zechiah, Shlichas, it's all the same. The only difference is that when it's not clear that it's advantageous, then you require a Mina Shlichas. When it's clear that it's advantageous, then you don't require a Mina Shlichas. Whatever Shlichas can do, Zechiah can do. And according to the Rashi, no, the buck stops here. Shlichus is necessary if you want to take something away from someone. Zechiah can only be invoked if you're not taking something away. Here, in the case of the Truman in the Sechus Nedarim of Amid Vav, I'm not taking away your peiros. I'm taking away my peiros. I'm only adding something to you. I'm adding to you the fact that now your fruit is no longer tevel. That's something which is addition to you. That can be done, provided that it's a zechus. So a major breakdown in the Rishonim as to what the relationship or lack thereof is between Shlichus and Zechiah. My nafkamina ladina, serious nafkamina ladina. So comes the Ramah in Hilchas Chala and quotes in the name of the Trumas Hadeshen the following Shaila. In the Trumas Hadeshen, you can never tell whether the Shaila really happened or not, because he made up all the Shailas. He had some good Torah to say, so you have to, it's like shooting the target with the Dubra Magid. If you want to have good Torah to say, you got to create the case. But the Shailas were good Shailas, and this particular Shaila happens all the time. Christ was as follows. He had a Jewish woman who's baking bread. She's preparing a dough, and she's working, and she's got a mishareta. She has a woman who's helping her. It's a Jewish helper. So she's the balas habayis. She owns the flour and the dough. She's baking, and she has someone who's coming to help her. And then the Jewish woman gets called out of the kitchen for a little while. I don't know, she's got to go run to do some chesed, the meeting. She's got to go say tilim, whatever it is. She leaves the kitchen, and she has the mishareta. She left the young girl, the Jewish girl, who's continuing preparing the dough. And now it reaches a point where the girl who's working in the kitchen realizes it's time for a farshas challah. And if we don't separate the challah, it's going to be a big balagan. It's going to be a mess. The dough's going to get spoiled. We have to stop baking it up. So she really, really is pressed for time. She wants to mafresh the challah right now. And the balas habayis is nowhere to be found. Now this girl's been working here for the last 10 years. So she knows exactly what the balas habayis does. She knows she's mafresh challah. She's a very firm woman. So she knows that this woman, the balas habayis, would be very happy if the mishareses would be mafresh challah right now. On the other hand, she was never told explicitly to do so. So can she step up to the plate and be mafresh challah without getting explicit permission to do so? So the Trumas Hadeshen writes that he thinks that it's okay. Why is that right? Because Zochel Yom Shom Lefano, it's something which is positive. It's something that clearly the Balas Habayis would want. All right, for the last 10 years she's been doing it this way, even though right now she's nowhere to be found, since it's so obvious that it's a Zchus, Zochel Yom Shom Lefano. Hi, how could you be Mafresh Chalah based on Zochel Yom Shom Lefano? Chalah is like Truma, and doesn't Chalah require a real Shlichus? So comes the Trumas Hadeshen and says, yeah, of course it requires a real Shlichus. And you have the real shlichus. The real shlichus is zoch lem shalufanov, because after all, we all know the Gemara Maseches Nedarim Lamed Vav says you can be mafish true for somebody based on zoch lem shalufanov. So Ad Kan Divrei Trumas Hadeshen. There are more quotes of Trumas Hadeshen in the halacha. So comes the Ketzos and says the Mechilas cover the Rama. I have to disagree. Says the Ketzos, this shtickle Torah of the Trumas Hadeshen is only true if you assume that Zoch Lem Shalom Fonav is synonymous with Shlichus. But if you hold like the Rash Ben Nedarim, which so says he thinks is the Ikar Adin, if you hold like the Rash Ben Nedarim, that Zechiah is one concept in Halacha, and and Shlichus is another concept in Halacha, and the fundamental difference between the two is, if you're taking something away from somebody, then you have to invoke the principle of Shlichus. Then you need formal appointing. The only time you can apply the principle of Zochid is only if I'm not detracting from you. I'm taking something from my own property. So says it itself, that you're going to run into a problem with this case of Challah. In the case of Challah, I'm taking something away from you. Albeit you're happy about it. That's good. So it says, we know you're happy about it. We know you're thrilled about it. It's true but irrelevant. The fact that you're happy about it, there was no formal Shlichus. And therefore, any time you want to invoke taking away from somebody, Zechiah doesn't work, because Zochin la Adam Amrinan and Zochin may Adam la Amrinan. You have to fall back on the principle of Shlichus. Shlichus isn't here. And since Shlichus isn't here, so Mamela, you can't do this at Rosh Hashanah.
I missed the last few weeks about Shlichus. I missed something, but why isn't this woman considered the
Shlichus? Oh, very good. Because she was. We're getting there in a second. You're trying to save all the bakeries in town. Hold on, we're gonna get there. So this is the way it's presented between the Ramah and the Trumas Hadesh, between the Ramah and Trumas Hadesh on the one hand and the Ketzos on the other hand. So the Chora, if one would accept this Ktzos's objection, I didn't say that we don't follow the Ramah, but if one would want to be choshesh from the Ktzos's objection to the Ramah, then this could potentially spell trouble for us in a lot of different scenarios. So as you point out correctly, very often we have a situation where who is being mafresh challah? A regular, typical bakery in town. Who is in charge of being mafresh challah in the bakery? So one would like that in theory the person being mafresh challah would be the Baal HaBayis. If he owns the bakery, that's wonderful. He would be the best guy available to be mafresh challah. The only problem is, he's not always here. Very often they start baking at 3 o'clock in the morning. The guy's sleeping. He's not here. So who's going to be in charge of being mafresh challah? So most hashkocha organizations have set up a way that the mashkiach, it's one of the mashkiach's responsibilities, is to be mafresh challah. They want to go pull the guy in every time to be mafresh challah. So the mashkiach is there anyway, we hope. So one of his jobs is to be mafresh challah. That's the way usually bakeries run around here and around pretty much all bakeries around. So the question is that acceptable or not? So who is the mashkiach exactly? So presumably the mashkiach is the shaliach of the owner of the bakery. Well, not so simple. The Gemara says in Maseches Nazir, going back to some shlichus topics, that I can only appoint a shaliach to do something on my behalf if I could do it myself. If I'm in the position to do the action myself, then only then can I be mamana shaliach, and I appoint a shaliach to do it on my behalf. So the Gemara discusses, what would the din be? A person wants to appoint a shaliach to write a get, to deliver a get to his wife. One small technicality, he's not married yet. So he says, listen, I'm planning on getting married next week, and I'm not so sure things are going to work out, so I want to get everything planned in advance. So in 6 months from now, I'm hereby appointing you, you should be the shaliach to write a get to my wife. Like, she's not your wife yet. So you couldn't write the get. It's very hard to write a get to somebody you're not married to. So the Gemara says that even though he theoretically appointed the person as a shaliach, that's like an ein on the mach nedovash lo baliyolam. The same way that I can't sell something that I don't own yet, I can't appoint a shaliach to do something that I can't do yet. So the Rishonim point out, based on the Gemara Maseches Nazir, that l'chor in the realm of a parshas challah, you can have the same problem. You can only be mafresh challah once it's already a dough. Let's say a person would try to be mafresh challah. I don't even own the flour yet. I didn't even go to the store to buy the flour yet. So what do you mean mafresh challah? So you can't be mafresh challah until you own the flour. You mix it with wood. You make it into a dough. Then you can be mafresh challah. So what if I appoint a shaliach to be mafresh challah on dough that I don't even own yet? So I call a guy up and say, listen, 6 months from now, I'm going to buy a bakery, I'm going to buy dough, and I want you to be my shaliach at that point to be mafresh challah. What kind of shaliach is that? That's a joke. So here, when the Baal HaBayis hires the mashkiach, so on January 1st, he hires a new mashkiach, and he says, okay, one of your jobs is to be mafresh challah for the next year. So how does that work? The Baal HaBayis doesn't even own the dough yet. He doesn't own the flour yet. So he's going to go buy flour in March, and the mashgiach is going to be mafresh based on the minah shlichus from 2 months ago. Chor, that minah shlichus doesn't exist. So the answer is, well, who says you need a minah shlichus? So if you hold like the Ramah and the Trumas Hadeshen, that for a farshas challah, zechiyas bitam shlichus, so then you don't need a minah shlichus. Then, if as long as the mashkiach knows that the owner of the bakery is happy with his being mafresh, that's perfectly okay. So, does the mashkiach know that? Of course, he knows that. It's written into his job description. He's supposed to be mafresh challah. So, if you hold that zechi is enough for a farshas challah, for a farshas truma, so then good. Inshallah, Yisrael, the mashkiach could do it day in, day out because he knows full well that the Baal HaBayis is very happy with what he's doing. Masha'in kein, if you hold that zechi is labitam shlichus, that zechi and shlichus are different principles, and the only time Zechiyah makes sense when it's Zochin le Adam Shlobifonov. But you don't say, as the Ketzel said, like the Rashba said, Zochin me Adam. Whenever you take something away from somebody else, that doesn't work. So in the Gemara Nidarim, I'm being mafish on my payrus to exempt your payrus. But in the case of the Tumas Adeshen, I'm being mafish your dough to be part of your dough. That doesn't work. There you need shlichus, and we have a problem because we don't have a formal shlichus here. Because the minah shlichus that was made at a time that the person wasn't even able to be mamana shlich. So the chayr, we're in a big pickle. The chayr, all the bakeries are up the creek. How could you ever have a farshas challah done by a mashkiach? The mashkiach is not a Baal HaBayis. He doesn't own the bakery, so he's not the Baal HaBayis. He's merely the shlich, but his minah shlichus wasn't acceptable. The only way to salvage the farshas challahs is only based on the principle of zechim mitam shlichus. It's not a bad salvation, not a bad solution. I said the Ramah said it, the Jumas Hadeshen said it, the Taz passed no way. It could be that's how we pass it. Could be that's the dinner. Finished, end of discussion. But some were ma'orer that maybe, according to the Ktzos and the Rashba, maybe that would be a problem. Unless one wants to argue, as I said correctly, maybe one wants to argue, this is even different. This is a different story, Lagamre. When I hire somebody, so there's a principle in Allah, like a Yad Polk, Yad Baal HaBayis. That even the Gemara has this idea that you don't always need the regular rules of shlichos when you have somebody who's working for me. This is your job. So this is ke'ilu, you're the balabas. This is your job. You're designated. You're getting paid to be mafshchala. So that's your job. You're not just a shlich. A shlich means I call a guy up in the middle of nowhere. I don't know you. You don't know me. I say, do me a favor. Go be mafshchala for me. So then you need the official rules of mina shlichos. But when you have a situation where that's what your employment is, so maybe one can argue that's even better. So I remember I was once speaking to Avasha Weiss about this topic. I was sitting with him at Henry Son's offer in Florida a couple of years ago. So I was sitting next to Mamash for all the Shabbos meals. It was nonstop. I think to the end he didn't want to sit next to me anymore. I just kept on bothering him more and more with things. So this is one of the things that I asked him. So I asked him, how do you deal with this problem? How do you have all that fresh challahs in the bakeries? I said, what happened to the ketzais and the rashma and the tais and everything? So he looked at me and he said, nah. He said, "Kash is nishkin kash." He says, "This is not a problem." He said, "This is that's his job. That you don't need shlichos. You don't. Yeah, it's for sure good. The chol adayas." He said, "The chol adayas is good." Okay, I breathe a sigh of relief. So this is the chur, not just a problem for bakeries and Dinek. This is the problem for all food in Eretz Yisrael also, because you have the same problem when it comes to freshers, trimmers, and nicers. He says, let's say you have a big plant that's getting in fruits and vegetables. Who's doing that freshers, trimmers, and nicers? But the owner, Mr. Tanuva, is doing freshers, trimmers, and nicers. So they hired a mashgiach to do that freshers, trimmers, and nicers. So wait a second, who appointed the shaliach? So they hired the mashgiach on Mashchanesh Nisan and say, for the next 6 months, you're hired to do the freshers, trimmers, and nicers. He said, I don't own the fruit yet. The fruit hasn't even grown yet. The fruit's sitting in some orchard somewhere. So I appoint you as a shaliach to do something to be mafish fruit, chumus and mice, and fruit doesn't exist yet. So what kind of a mina shalichus is that? So unless you fall back on the Ramah, if you hold like the Ramah, then for sure you're okay. You don't need a mina shalichus because it's a zochin. Of course the company wants you to be mafish. The company is paying to get hashkacha, so of course they want to fresh chumus and mice to happen. Mashahenkein, if you hold like the Rashba and the Ketzais, that you need a mina shalichus, then you're going to run into a problem. So unless you solve the problem, the same solution that we said, that this is different because this is an employment kind of a setup, you have poyo, you have something along those lines, so then that's good enough, even in a situation where a formal mina shalichus may fall short.
So, the same thing by a non-firm owner who doesn't really care.
But he does care. He wants to get hashkacha. He does care. So he wants to make sure that he doesn't know the ins and outs of fresh trumas and maizes, but he does know that if he doesn't get
even in a case with the big bakeries.
Yeah, he wants
the entrance is from guy, so
he wants hashgachas. So if he wants hashgachas,
he doesn't understand.
Right. Right. The problem is, if Mr. Entman is a goy, so a fresh challah that makes matters better, because there's no fresh challah. The problem is, when the owner is a goy, that makes problems, that makes the situation more problematic. Let's say you have a store. Let's say you have a goyish store that's getting in tevel. You have a non-Jewish store that's getting in fruit and vegetables from Eretz Israel. So then you have a problem. Who's going to be mafresh, trumas and maizes? So he can't appoint to as a shlich, because there's no shlichas for Nachum. So we had the problem in town a couple of years ago. The store has closed since then. Which one was the? Big Apple Farm. Yeah, we had the problem with Big Apple Farm a couple of years ago, owned by non-Jewish people. So they wanted to get in some fruits from Eretz Yisrael. So the problem was that most of the stuff that's coming from Eretz Yisrael, it's hard to know who was actually, if anybody was ever mafresh trumas and maizes along the way. So now the question is, usually the policy would be, well, you want to get Eretz Yisrael stuff, so the mashgiach will be mafresh, but the mashgiach is being mafresh with the shaliach, whatever the hashgach is working out. So let's say if Cloud Express gets fruits and vegetables from Eretz Yisrael, so then you'll have the mashgiach being mafresh trumas and maizes. But if it's Big Apple Farm, so the owners are going, so how's it going to be mafresh? So we had to go try to explain to the non-Jew that we can't accept, you can't buy Israeli fruit. We're boycotting Israeli fruit. So go explain that to him, that we can't accept Israeli fruit. But we can't accept for him to have, for the goy to have Israeli fruit, because how are we going to be mafresh with Zemaisis? So the only way to be mafresh with Zemaisis is to have the goy himself be mafresh. Because the Gemara says in Kedushin, quotes Mishnah and Trumas, that Acham Shetarim Trumas Truma, that a goy can be mafresh. He has the ability to create a fresh Truma. You're going to have the guy in Big Apple Farm reading the Kafi Nusach HaChazanish. He's going to read as it says in the text of the Chazanish, and it's not going to fly. So we had to create a strange policy that all non-Jewish owners can't get Israeli fruit. And then the question becomes, is it, it's a little bit of a low plug. That's a very, very mudna kind of a policy. So we have to try to figure out how to... But Costco, you're right. Costco's not asking us to be mafresh. Here we're giving a shkach on the store. Costco gets some of the pre-hoofer stuff also to get the Israeli dates, which were already separated from some mice on. But they also get some of the raw, some of the plain stuff that wasn't. So then when I go and I buy it, I can be mafresh. Right. The problem is, you know, can we give Ashkocha on a Big Apple Farm kind of a setup and put up a sign that says, all Israeli products, we don't take responsibility for first human rights, you gotta do it yourself. It's not a good setup. Let's just still close down so we have less problem. Remember what kind of question there? They were making some kind of a smoothie or something. And I think I had like grapes or something in it. So they were taking grapes and crushing the grapes. And there was a guy who was making the smoothie. So it was ma'urah, and it's tam yenam. I said, once the grape gets crushed, so it's grape juice or something. Now the guy can't touch it, he can't make a smoothie. So we had to have some new policy that only the Jewish guy is allowed to make the grape smoothies. So it ran into a lot of strange problems. Okay, anyway, getting back to the story. So this question about what the nature of shlichos and zechiah, what's it all about? So this is a very long question that the Rishonim are raising. But we have to stop for a moment and rephrase the question a little bit. If you hold that zechiah is mitam shlichos, what exactly do those words mean? That zechiah is mitam shlichos. So the Ktzos claims that I'll tell you what it doesn't mean, and then I'll tell you what he thinks it does mean. The Ktzos claims what one would have thought it means as follows. He said, what does shlichus mean? The basic principle of shlichus is that I officially appoint you to do something on my behalf. What zechiah seems to mean is that I don't officially appoint you. Why? Because we know that you're going to be happy with what I'm doing. Now, it's true you don't know about it right now, but in a week from now, when you find out that I picked up the gift on your behalf, or when you find out that I was mafish dechala on your behalf, so you're going to be very happy about it. So when you find out about it, it'll be, in a certain sense, the mafreya, glory milsul mafreya, that since you're happy about it in a week from now, so mistum, we can say you were happy about it all along, and it's as if there was a mafreya type of mina shlichus. That's what seems to be zechiah mitam shlichus. That's what I understand the seeming relationship between the two. Shlichus means, right now, there's an official formal mina shlichus, an official appointment. Zechiah mitam shlichus means, right now there's not, because we don't have all the pieces of information right now. You don't know that I want to give you the gift, but if and when you find out about it, and you'll be happy, then we can be don lemafreya that you probably would have appointed me in the first place. That's what it seems to be. So the truth is, this is not our suggestion. This is the way Rashi seems to present the principle of zechiah mitam shlichus. So it comes to Ktzos and says it can't be. It's impossible. Because if that principle would be correct, then we would be taking a stand on a major machlokes, that the last machlokes in the world we want to take a stand on. And that's the issue that's called nichusa lemafreya. Nichusa means, can I say that somebody is nichle, somebody is happy, somebody is satisfied with something, lemafreya. Right now, I don't know the facts. Right now, I don't know whether to be happy or not to be happy. I don't know anything right now. I'm going to find out in a week from now. And, in a week from now, I'm going to be happy. So then we say, lemafreya, retroactively, I was happy all along. What is that issue of nichus lemafreya? Why are we so weary to take a stand on that? Because nichus lemafreya goes by another name, a much more popular name, called Yishalomidas. Comes the Gemara and says, what's the din in terms of Hashavas Aved that we know? That if I find a lost object, so I have to return it to you. The mitzvah Hashavas Aved, I have to set up, give us a, you know, announce it, chayav hachas, etc. Under what circumstances am I not obligated to return an aveda to you? So the first mission, Eilam Mitzias, Sechaparavar Mitzias, tells us that if there was Yush, if I know that you were Mitzias, if I know that you gave up hope of finding the object, then there's no chia for me to return it to you. Those are the ABCs of Eilam Mitzias. So those who remember from their kids' days back in elementary school, learning, not so long ago, learning Eilam Mitzias, so that's the whole first 10, the whole Masechta, the whole parak of Melitzias is based on that principle. If it's something that you were Mesiyash from, then I'm allowed to keep it. If you weren't Mesiyash, then I'm not allowed to keep it. So there are certain things that I can say for a fact. I know that you were Mesiyash from. So let's say, for example, the I find money in the street. I find just a dollar balling around in the street. So the Gemara says, no problem. I'm allowed to keep the dollar. Why? Because the guy lost the dollar. There's no simon on the dollar. So obviously, he's going to be Mesiyash from it. But the question is, wait a second. I mean, obviously, he's going to be Mesiyash. Maybe he doesn't know that he lost it. If he doesn't know that he lost it, then how could he possibly be Mesiyash? So the Gemara says, now money, a guy always knows he lost it. Why? Adam, also the master's pekisa b'choshua. A guy's always sticking his hand to his pocket, make sure he doesn't lose anything. So if a person lost a dollar, he's going to know about it pretty soon. And therefore, when I pick up a dollar bill on the street, I can assume that two things. I can assume the owner knows that he lost it, but I can also assume that he was already misyayish, because there's no simon on the money. But what if you have a situation where it's a type of an item that normal person would be misyayish, because there is no simon, there's no way for him to ever get it back, but it's a type of an item that he doesn't know that he lost yet. It's not something like money that a person always checks. It's something that it's quite possible he doesn't even know yet. So the question becomes as follows. I find the object before the person finds out that he lost it. On the other hand, I know for a fact that once he finds out that he lost it, he's going to be Mishyash. So can we say that the Yush is Chalam Afreya Na? Do I have a right to pick it up now? I'll smach that he's going to be Mishyash when he finds it, and then the Yush will take effect retroactively, and that's like taking something after Yush, which is Mutter. What do you say? No. That the Yush is only Chal Mikan Al-Haba. When a person is Mishyash from something, so we declare that it's Chal from that moment of Yush. It's not Chal retroactively, even though if he would have, I would have known. I wouldn't know, couldn't have, shouldn't, would have, but I say, I didn't know. So Kolzman that I didn't know, that the Yush wasn't Chal. So this was a famous machlokes in Abayin Rava. This is the machlokes about whether Yush Lomidas have a Yush or whether Yush Lomidas will have a Yush. So according to Rava's view, Yush Lomidas have a Yush, that we can assume that even though right now the other person doesn't know about it, since in a week from now when he will find out, he will no doubt be Mesiyahish. Therefore, I'm allowed to pick it up even right now. Asmach the Yush that hasn't happened yet. And Abayi says, since the Yush wasn't Chal yet, so once I pick it up, I become a Chuyv in Hashavas Aveda. Once I'm a Chuyv in Hashavas Aveda, the guy can be Mesiyahish from today till tomorrow, that doesn't change the fact that I'm a Chuyv in Hashavas Aveda. So the only time I'm potter from Hashavas Aveda is only if I pick something up post halachic Yush. If I pick something up pre-Yush, even though the Yush will happen, it doesn't matter. It only takes effect from here on in. So that was the machlekes of Bayin Rava. So comes the Ktzais and says, what's that machlekes? So that machlekes is not a Hashavas Aveda machlekes. That machlekes has nothing to do with Hashavas Aveda. That is a machlekes in general called Tarakula Kul Nichusulam Afreya Amrinan or Nichusulam Afreya Lo Amrinan. Harayah, that has nothing to do with Hashavas Aveda. It's not a limited machlekes in Hashavas Aveda. The Gemara compares that machlekes to Shalz and Chustuma. A person doesn't know a certain piece of information yet, then he finds it out retroactively. Do we say it's Tomei, Tar, is it killed the Kli, not killed the Kli, called the Machshava, not called the Machshava? Back and forth, the Gemara jumps from Hilchus Ela Metzias to Hilchus Tumah V'Tara, to Paraduma, to Tumas Kalim, to Tumas Eichmet. Back and forth, the Gemara says it's all the same question, whether Nichus L'mafrei Amrinan, whether Nichus L'mafrei Lo Amrinan. So comes the Ktzais and says, if you're going to tell me that Zoch and the Adam Shalob Afanov is basically means Zechir Mitam Shlichus, i.e. that even though the person doesn't know about the gift yet, when he finds out, we can say that retroactively Ke'ilu he appointed me as a Shaliach, which sounds very much like a Nichus L'mafrei issue, then you're taking a stand in the Machlokes Abayin Rava, and you're in the wrong team. Because the Gemara Paskins, Hilchos HaKabayin, is one of the six cases, is one of the Al-Khagams, that we Paskin like Abayin against Rava. So says the Ktzais, we Paskin that Yush, Shalom Midas, lo avi Yush, obviously, Zechia cannot be based on Nichus L'mafreya. So what's it based on? So ask the Ktzos, if there's a din of Shlichus, there's a din of Zechia, and we're arguing that Zechia is Bitam Shlichus, like those Vishonim were saying, Zechia is Bitam Shlichus, L'chora, the only way to define this, the only parameters to give it, is to say it works with the rules of Nichus L'mafreya. But that's bad news. We don't want to say that, because that's going to put us on the wrong side of Abayi and Rava. So what does Zechia Bitam Shlichus mean? What do the words mean? So says the Ktzos, what it means, whether it's right or not, is not discussing right now, but what does it mean? According to those Vishonim who say that there is a principle called Zechir Mitam Shlichus, what it means is as follows. In a million years, we never would have figured out the principle of Zechir. Zechir is not a Davar Poshut. Zechir is not a corollary of Shlichus. Just because the Torah says I can appoint someone as a Shaliach, so Mehecha takes I can do it without a Min Shlichus. I Nichus L'mafreya, we pass in Yishlam Adas Lovi Yish. So what does Zechir Mitam Shlichus mean? Says the Ktzais, it means there are two parishes in the Torah. There's a parish of Shlichus, Atem Gam Atem, the Pesukim from Kit and Kiddush, and also in Kiddush of the Malach. There's a Chiddush at Torah, Gzeres HaKosov called Shlichus. There happens to be another Gzeres HaKosov called Zechir, that's the Gemara in Kiddush of Membeis, the Gemara learns Afmal Pesukim, the principle of Zoch Lam Shlom Befonah. In a million years, I wouldn't have said that you can derive Zechir from Shlichus. But Lamaisa the Torah told me both of them. The Torah says as a din of Shlichus, as a din of Zechir. So now the question becomes, do we say these are two independent halachas? They just happen to appear in the same Masechet and Shas. They happen to be discussed one shir after another, but they're really two very, very different principles. Or do I say no? That Zechia is similar to Shlichus. It's not the same. I never would have derived one from another, but there is a certain similarity. In Shlichus, I'm doing something not on behalf of myself. In Zechia, I'm doing something not on behalf of myself. So that similarity leads us to believe that all the limitations of Shlichus apply to Zechia. All the dinim, all the halachas that the Torah sets into motion concerning Shlichus, we have a right to extrapolate one from another. Not that Zechir is mitam Shlichus, that it's a nichus l'mafreya, ki'ilu ha'edumana Shlichus. There's no ki'ilu in this world, says the Ktzais. It's not ki'ilu ha'edumana Shlichus. There's no way anyone would have figured out the rules of Zechir without a gzeres hakos, without a posuk. But once they have the posuk, once they know that these two dinim exist, do we have a right to say, oh, let's carry over some of the dinim to another, since there is a certain similarity. So that's the machlokes. If you hold Zechir is mitam Shlichus, then whatever limitations there are on shlichus carry over to zechiah. If you hold zechiah's lamit on shlichus, it's its own world. It's not down by any limitations. It works with its own rules. What are these limitations that we're talking about? What's the yisaidis take limitations? So this leads us into really the next major part of the discussion of zechiah, touching a little bit on some of the things we spoke about in the past, and that's the role of a katan. How does the din of zoch and the Rosh Hashanah play out if I'm trying to accomplish a zoch on behalf of someone who's themselves under the age of bar bas mitzvah? Can I be zoche for somebody who is not yet a gadol? What's the shiloh? That touches on our question. Is zechiah mitam shlichus or not mitam shlichus? If zechiah is mitam shlichus, so as Tzel said, whatever limitations apply to shlichus apply to zechiah. So we know, we learned the sugyas a few weeks ago, ain shlichus the katan. That's out of the question. I can't be a shliach on behalf of a katan. So just as I can't be a shliach on behalf of a katan, I can't be zocha on behalf of a katan. If you hold zechiah, is mitam shlichus. But if you hold zechiah, is lab mitam shlichus, so why am I limited by anything? True, ein shlichus a katan. Big deal. What's that to do with me? Ein shlichus a katan is a shlichus to the sugya. You're in the wrong sugya. I'm in the next sugya. We're in zechiah. And in the realm of zechiah, so maybe Cain, maybe yes. Maybe zochin the katan shlava funav. So that's going to set the ball rolling from the next sugya in terms of how does zochin play out, specifically in terms of katanim. Those who may remember the middle of the night sugya from Shavuos, from the Geiris days. So this sugya, this question of whether there is zechiah for katan, no zechiah for katan, is going to become the basis of a very, very serious issue in terms of Geiris, how to understand the whole notion of Gekotta and all the related issues. So hopefully, next week, we have to begin with this Nakuda of Zechiah for Katan, how that works, how it doesn't work, does it work, with the Torah, with the Rabbanan, and some of the very real Nafkamin of Ladina that are going to emanate from this Lumbus. So we started this week with the Lumbus part of Zechiah B'Tam Shlichus, then we're going to have to start to see how it's going to play out the Maisa next week.